हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। सो टुडे इज़ 25th June 2014, वी दोषी हॉस्पिटल। सो आई वाज जस्ट बिफोर वी टॉक अबाउट क्लेनलीनेस, आई वाज सेइंग दैट द स्पिरिचुअल प्रोग्राम हैज़ टू बी डायनामिक एक्सपीरियंस। स्पिरिचुअल प्रोग्राम शुड नॉट बी अ मैकेनिकल एक्सपीरियंस, because spirituality is not mechanical. Spirituality is very dynamic. Spirituality is always enlivening, always nourishing, and never boring. Spirituality is the activity of soul. Geeta Devi, please come forward. So this dynamic nature of spirituality is always mutual and never one-sided. Did you understand what I said? The dynamic nature of spirituality is never one-sided, it is mutual. And spirituality is expressed always as a response to the enthusiasm of the audience. That is why it is never a one-way traffic. The audience, by the power of enthusiasm and sincere desire, they draw their energy from the speaker. The speaker may come prepared for whatever he wants, but the audience draw from him what they need. So, perfect spiritual experience is when the audience is very enthusiastic and very interested into the subject matter of spirituality. When that happens, automatically by grace of God, the speaker gets empowered to speak the word of God. It is never by preparation or mugging up verses and translations one gives a spiritual discourse. It's not like that. When that happens, it becomes mechanical. But when the audience is very deeply interested in making spiritual progress, at that time the speaker becomes empowered by the dint of his sincerity and by the power of the audience enthusiasm. Then he becomes empowered to speak the word of God, to nourish the souls of the audience. So that is why I get different experiences when I speak in different places. Why? I am the same person, but the audience is different in different places. And they are at different levels of spirituality, at different levels of desire, and different levels of interest. So depending on the level of interest of the audience, the word of God is delivered. So speaker should never claim that he is a great speaker. The speaker is always speaking the word of God, and all the credit of his speech goes to God, because the word is his word, God's word, not our word. So that's why to make any spiritual gathering very enlivening, very nourishing, the audience has to be very interested. And by the power of the audience interest, the spiritual program becomes very, very charged up and very, very powerful. And spirituality is not a once in a week affair. Spirituality is a continuous dynamic affair. Spirituality is a way of life. It's not that all the week we are fully into our material jobs and duties, and once in a week we are talking about God, to forget it again for next week, to come again for the next week. Spirituality is not like that. Spirituality is a dynamic affair. It's a continuous affair. It is way of life. Way of life cannot be once in a week affair. It is the permanent loving connection of the soul with the Lord. And when that connection is always energized effectively and effortfully by the performer, by the sadhaka. Sadhaka means by the student of spirituality. Then it becomes a very beautiful and blissful experience. So our spirituality is like that. Or rather, we are aiming for that spirituality, which is not once in a week affair. It's a dynamic, continuous way of life. You want such spirituality? Or you want a ritualistic spirituality? Ritualistic spirituality will keep you here only. Will never make you progress towards God. Dynamic, sincere, pure spirituality will always take you more and more and more close to God, constantly. And when you are on a progressive path towards God, then only it is blissful. Otherwise, the same process becomes very cumbersome. You feel bored, you feel burdened. When there is no sincere desire, the spiritual path becomes a burden. And the moment you feel it is burden, you have to understand your way of doing things is very mechanical and without interest. Like if you don't have interest in cooking and you just got married and now you are supposed to cook for your in-law's house, it becomes a big burden for you because you have no desire. But suppose you love cooking, then the moment you get an opportunity, it's a joy for you. Process is same, but difference is of interest. Similarly, subject of God is matter of interest, individual interest. And when such individuals who are dynamically and continuously connected with God as a way of life, when such individuals come together, their union becomes a very, very, very joyful, nourishing experience. That's why spiritual association becomes very powerful when everybody is dynamically interested in the subject matter. When some of you are interested and some of you are not, it becomes like a kheer with some sand in it. Very tasty kheer, but some sand as a topping. And what happens? You can't enjoy the kheer. Always when you eat one spoon, then some sand is going to come in the mouth. It's going to spoil the taste. So let us all be, in the name of this cleanliness week, get dynamically connected with the process of cleansing the soul. Ultimately, all the sadhana, all the prayer and worship and dedication, devotion, is meant to cleanse the soul. Cleanse the soul to such an extent that it will become a suitable offering to the Lord. Right? We take a potato from the field. Is it offerable to God? No. You have to cut it and make it, cook it and make a good preparation out of it, tasty preparation. Then it is offerable. So the potato has to go through a process till it becomes offerable. To our soul also has to undergo a process till it becomes sweet, loving offering to God. And we don't want to offer an uncooked potato to God or half-cooked potato or saltless potato, right? We want to put everything nicely, decorate it very beautifully in a plate, put a spoon, put a glass of water, and with love and devotion in the heart, you offer that potato preparation to God. So soul is similarly, when not in touch with God, the soul is like the uncooked potato, raw potato. In the process of being offered to the Lord, the potato has to undergo first peeling off, very painful. Somebody comes with peeler and just, it's like, imagine if peeler applied to you, what will happen to you? So painful. So first peeled off, then cut with knife into cubes, then put it in boiling water, boil it. Or put it into seasoning, that means oil and mustard seeds, it's like spluttering, in the hot spluttering oil, potato is put. So potato has to go through that experience. Then spice, then chili. Then so many things are put. After all that, potato becomes an offerable item to God. But to become offerable to God, potato has to accept so many troubles in the process. And not shoutingly, grumblingly, angrily. If potato is informed before, why we are doing all this thing to you? Then the potato can take it nicely, right? Otherwise, potato with every step, potato will start shouting, why peel, why cut, why boil me, why put me in oil, why put spice on me, why I'm burning, I'm boiling, I'm suffering. Every step, potato will keep shouting and groaning. But if potato is given orientation induction program before going in the process, then the potato is okay. He's going through pain, but he will say, thank you, my Lord. I know by all this process, one day I will become, one time, few minutes later, I will become offerable to you. The perfection of my life is at your feet, to be enjoyed by you. Your tongue will be very happy to enjoy me. So I'm fine. I'm thankful. I'm grateful that this is being done to me. What is the difference? Knowledge. The knowledge is given. You are willing to undergo the pain of purification to become offerable to God. So whole the process of devotion to God is a process of purification with complete knowledge, complete understanding. If knowledge is not there, then you will keep on grumbling and crying and groaning and what not. So this cleanliness week, the external purpose is to get the building cleaned up. But the internal purpose is to clean our hearts. When you consider your working place as a most boring place, most unwanted place, people are very unwanted there, I don't want to see their face, the work I don't like, the people whom I work with, I don't like them, the building I don't like, the mission I don't like, the purpose I don't like, then it becomes like a hell for you. Monday morning you enter the hell and Saturday evening tak you are in hell and Sunday you are in heaven. But if you consider your working place as temple of God, your work as worship, working place as temple and your work as worship and your working is as a mission of God and all your colleagues as angels of God who are sent by God to be with you, to work with you, to give company to you. Why are you laughing? See, even when I am speaking these beautiful statements, it's giving so much joy to you. It's bringing smile on your face. I am not questioning your smile, I am appreciating your smile. Because who will not like to be in a working place which is like a temple, where work is worship, where everybody is angel around you, working in the mission of God, giving God's knowledge to everybody else, giving them education, giving them culture, giving them good behavioral culture, message of God. Who will not like to work in that place? It's not a working place, it's Vaikuntha. It's kingdom of God actually. Then cleaning that place will become meaning. What is the meaning of that place? It's cleaning up temple of God. Otherwise it's like, you know, burden on you. Oh, 27th of June, they have declared now. What can I do? I am a tutor, I am a principal, I am a vice principal. If I don't appear to be exemplary, then students will not clean. Oh my God, what a burden. I wish that time should pass very fast on 27th June in the afternoon. You know, it's all mindset. If you feel my working place is temple, it's an opportunity for me to serve my God by cleaning that place and please Him. And while I clean the temple of my God, my heart is also getting cleaned. When you wish, when you clean even your house in this mood, your heart will get cleansed. If you say, aaj bhai nahi aaya, ab sab mujhe karna padega. If you clean your house like that, then it's a burden for you. But if you feel, my house is temple of God, God is in the center of my house, today servant has not come, Let me clean the temple of God. With grateful heart and thankful heart, if you clean your house, along with your house, your heart will get cleansed. Because of gratitude, because you are grateful for the opportunity. So cleanliness is understood in two ways. One is external and internal. Externally, somebody may be very clean, very neat, very ironed, crisp dressing and office very clean, spick and span. But the heart is filled with envy, greed, anger, competitive nature, disturbed nature. Then you are not clean still. Then your behavior will manifest what you are inside. Your inner dirt will be manifested through your behavior in the externally clean atmosphere. So we are talking about both. We are talking about when we remain in the clean atmosphere, our heart also tends to become clean. When we remain in dirty atmosphere, our clean heart also becomes dirty because of the atmosphere around us. So it's mutually dependent. If things are unclean outside, you become unclean inside. If you are clean inside, maybe your clean outside maybe become clean because of your presence. And it helps you mutually. So external cleanliness means your body, your hair, your dress, your surroundings, your table, your cupboard. All this is external cleanliness. And internal cleanliness also has many levels. One is your mind. And mind is cleansed by thinking for Lord, desiring for the Lord, and feeling for the Lord. Mind has three faculties: thinking, feeling, and willing. Willing means desiring. All these three faculties of mind, when you use for God, you think of Lord, think of Krishna. When you feel the presence of Krishna in your life, and when you desire to serve Him, mind will get cleaned. If you simply do these things, three things for the Lord, Supreme Lord, then your mind will have to get cleaned. Mind will have to get cleaned. Intelligence will be cleaned. Any idea how we can clean intelligence? Reading scriptures is the only way of cleansing your intelligence. Reading the word of God, like Bhagavad Gita or Bible or Quran or any other scripture given by God, is like bathing your intellect with divine waters of knowledge of God. That's why daily we read. Whatever happens, daily we read at least half an hour the message of God. All of you Christians are requested to read every day half an hour Bible. All Hindus are requested every day read Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita every day half an hour. Because by reading the message of God, all your dirt that has come into your mind by the worldly association will get cleansed. And you will not be misguided. Because intellect is your guide. If mind tells you, I want this, I want this, I want this, the intellect will tell you yes or no. Intellect will sanction in a bona fide way what you should do. Like I always give example, you want to eat pani puri on the road, on the seashore, and your intellect tells you, don't eat this, you will get diarrhea. So mind is pushing you, but intellect is guiding you on the right path. So like that, when you every day read scriptures for minimum 30 minutes a day, then you will not get swayed by temptations of the world through the mind. And how do you cleanse the soul? Soul has got a lot of dirt. Cheto darpana marjanam. Lot of dirt. Lust, anger, greed, intoxication, pride, envy, illusion. There are so much of big demons are there inside the soul. And as long as these demons are there on soul, you cannot meet the Lord. You cannot be dirty and visit the Lord. So to cleanse all this dirt on the soul, the only way is to chant the holy name of the Lord. They percolate through intelligence and mind and manifest themselves. They are all there on the soul through the faculty of mind and intelligence, and then through your speech and action they manifest, but they are right there inside. So you can't expect that I read scriptures and I thought of the Lord and I acted for the Lord, I was still there only. Why? Because we have not attacked the right place to destroy them. Hai na? The source you have to destroy, then only it will be completely cleansed. So all the dirt of the soul manifests through the intelligence, through the mind, and through the action of the body. And we have to start from beginning, from the step one. When you chant the holy name, slowly, 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 all these unwanted bad things will be cleansed from the soul. Then the intellect will become clean, the mind will become clean. Then your action will become clean. When your action will become clean, then you can be considered that you are completely clean. If your words are different and your actions are different, then you cannot become clean. You have to, it is said that Bole taisa sale tachi vandavi paule. One who follows what he says, he is worshipable. So when you speak something which is as per the word of God, and if you follow the same thing what you speak, then your cleansing process is very fast. You can cleanse very fast and you become worshipable when you become a person who follows your own word. So we chant the holy name every day to cleanse our soul. Then we read scriptures to clean our intelligence. Then you think, feel and desire for the Lord. And then you act for the Lord, work for the Lord, serve the Lord. Engage your senses, engage your mind in serving the Lord. When that happens in your life, then your life becomes very fast clean. Your whole existence becomes very clean. And when you are like that, automatically your body, your clothes, your surroundings will automatically becoming clean. You will not be able to tolerate anything dirty around you. You will wear clean clothes. You will wear clean surroundings around you. You will wash up regularly. The priestly class of people, they are instructed to clean themselves 3 times a day. Morning, afternoon, night. And all the 3 times they are supposed to worship the Lord. Chant some mantras. For that they are supposed to clean themselves. So automatically when your heart is clean, when your soul is already getting cleansed, then everything becomes accordingly. Even if you meet that person, you feel very clean and pure. Then you meet a very pure saint or priest, just by looking at him you feel very peaceful and very clean and very nice, because his soul is very pure. In his company the purity is very contagious, purity is very overwhelming and inspires you. So celebrate cleanliness week in that mood. Not as a burden, as an opportunity to clean your soul. And it is said that sometimes we are very bored, very lax and not enthusiastic. We are advised by experienced people, clean your table, clean your cupboard, clean your drawers, clear it up. And as soon as you do that, you feel fresh. Because your surrounding is a manifestation of you. The way you are, your surrounding will be like that. If you are in a mess, then your table, your cupboard, your everything will be in mess. But you are orderly and regulated and clean. Your surrounding also will be very orderly, very nicely kept and very clean. Sometimes when you clean your surroundings, you feel fresh. So it is said that clearance of your cupboard, drawers, table is regularly advised. Please do it regularly so that you feel always fresh. Otherwise, you know, only cupboard is closed. When you open cupboard, things are so messy, you can't find one paper or one cloth inside the cupboard the way you want. It just falls off. So only suddenly again you dump it again, you just close it. So till the guests come, I will just close it. When you open the guest cupboard again and the guests go, everything just falls off from cupboard because everything is a mess inside. So that's why we start from outside first. So that when outsides are everything clean, we get inspired to chant Hare Krishna. As long as surroundings are not clean, you don't even feel like chanting also. You need to go to a clean and serene and peaceful place to even think of the Lord and take the name of the Lord. So although the house is like a temple, but still we need to go to church and temple. Where we need to connect, you know, and sometimes in the home we cannot connect properly because of our difficulties or our problems or our situations. So we go to church and go to temple. So that there the situation is very favorable to think of the Lord. So there we connect, and with that connection we come home and try to make our home also a temple of God. That's how the life goes. So everyone should lead their life like this, thinking of the Lord in whatever you do. And when you do that, you feel a great inner joy within yourself. All your anxieties and troubles and pains and hurts will appear to be insignificant. And when you don't think of God, then all your anxieties and troubles and difficulties will become very prominent, and they will overwhelm you, and they'll engulf you, and you'll get drowned within them, and you'll have no separate existence beyond your anxieties. Hare Krishna. Anybody has any questions? To make it very dynamic and continuous effort. To a scientific person, it's very difficult to tell anything.
Just by hearing, heart is beating. It is not digestible.
So we will tell them you remain indigestion, in indigestion. We can't help you. Because spiritual life is a matter of faith. Spiritual life is not something, it's very scientific at the same time, but it's not something mechanically provable all the time by your understanding. The way we understand, through our methods, it's not every time provable. Right from existence of God, you have to have little faith in the beginning and start working accordingly.
No, sir, they have faith on God because we can say how machines are working with electricity, there is a power who is forcing machine. So like that in world, so many things are, it's not automatic working.
So you ask them whether they...
But for this chanting now,
so you ask them whether you believe in love. And I will say, I don't see love, I don't feel love, I don't see anything. But still, we all experience love. And we cannot define love in actual words. It's ultimately inner feeling. That once you receive it, you know it is. And you don't receive it, you know it is not there. So all things may not be experienced like putting the button on and light becoming on. All things cannot be explained in these terms. Of science and physics and chemistry and biology and biochemistry. Everything in the world cannot be explained by that. There are things beyond all these scientific methods which we still feel and experience day to day.
There is one doctor who had come that day from the US. She said a very wonderful thing. When she heard on the spirituality, management by spirituality, after Dr.
Hyderabad.
Hyderabad lecture, she was so very impressed, like, you know, then at the end of the session she came to all of us and she said, "Madam, in this your philosophy, we know very well in US because they don't get this. India, no, India never understands these jewels what they have. It's the most richest thing. Whereas US will, just whatever you are talking, you know, like they will pick up the things very fast. They are scientific people, they are educated one and they will pick up fast.
If they give up their sinful life, then they can pick up fast. If the sinful life continues, then they cannot pick up fast. Their activity has to be cleansed first, then they can pick up. Similarly, respect. Do you see respect? Can you define respect in units? 2 units, 3 units, 4 units? But still respect is there. When you get, you know you are getting respected. When you don't get also, you know very much you are not getting respect. Very painful when you don't get respect. When you get disrespect, right? So like that, there are many things which are not explainable by any units of science. So like that, the concept of God also is first based on faith. And when you have faith and you do certain activities, you experience certain realizations, which you know that I have experienced.
They argue that why you are doing chanting, so you are in that verse, you are not busy with some nonsense things, that's why you are chanting. But that 2 hours, you don't have any gross benefit. You are away from all the nonsense things, that is only benefit. I don't know, okay, for that also you chant.
For such people, the benefit is only in terms of money and property. That's all. That's why they are always talking about profit and loss. Only those people can talk this language. Okay, what are you gaining by that? There's no gain. There's no fruitful gain. It's a waste of time. You are only trying to engage your mind and all those things they will talk. But for those people who are devotees of the Lord, they know what those 2 hours give them. How does it benefit them? So it's like those who are mercantile people, na? Who always are dealing with profit and loss. You can't talk this kind of language with them. They will never understand this. So we leave it. We accept the defeat and say, Hare Krishna, thank you very much. We go our way, you go your way. Some people say, why you chant? 2 hours you can serve people who are sick and who are suffering. Why is this chanting 2 hours? How it will help you? But we know why we chant before we serve people. Because chanting the holy name of the Lord gives me proper consciousness with which I can serve. Without any material gain and motivation and desire for fame and desire for profit and adoration, to create that consciousness is not easy. We chant the name of the Lord, then the proper mood of service, continuous service of the suffering souls in God consciousness, not for social service, but in service in the name of God. Service to the children of God, to please the Lord. That mood can come only when you chant. But some people cannot understand this. We don't break our head on them. We go our way. Because we don't claim that we can convince everybody on earth. We don't claim that. Whoever understands, come with us. If you don't understand, go your way. We are okay. We don't force anybody. So every one of you who are working in Bhaktivedanta Hospital are requested to participate and contribute some of your spirituality in the atmosphere. Then people who will come from outside, they will feel the collective effect of all that spirituality that you have invested. It's not just the spiritual care people, department people and the leader and the director and the officer and the counselor who need to be spiritual and to keep contributing. Everybody who is there, in whatever little or more capacity, you have to keep contributing in the atmosphere, your own sincere devotion in your work. And when that happens, then people who come from outside, they feel that power in the atmosphere. Atmosphere has got a lot of power, because atmospheric power is called as ethereal power. Ether is the fifth element. Earth, water, fire, air and ether. Prithvi, Vayu, Tej and Agni and Akash or Avakash or Ether. Ether has a power to hold. So ethos, when you say ethos, is holding earth, holding moon, holding stars, holding all the galaxy, the planetary systems. It has power to hold. It also holds spirituality. When you create spirituality, it holds it. It preserves it. And it gives to people who come in that atmosphere. Trees also have ethereal power. Even trees hold the consciousness. If in and around a tree, holy activities are performed, then the tree capture the essence and hold it. And then whoever comes into contact with that tree emanates that consciousness to the people around. That's the power of tree. So every building, every unit of buildings, whatever we have, have ethereal power, and that ethereal power will capture whatever you are contributing in that. If you contribute laziness, if you contribute envy, if you contribute whatever negative things, then it will hold negative things. If you contribute enthusiasm, contribute devotion, contribute sincerity, contribute equality of vision, love for God, chant the name of the Lord, and all that potency, spiritual potency, is captured by the ethos. That's why when you come in, immediately you feel that power. But then every day you come in, you take it for granted. Like the fish. Every day swimming in the ocean, doesn't care. But when it's thrown out of the ocean, then it suffers for life. Then comes to know the value of the ocean. Wow, I was in the ocean living so beautifully and peacefully. Now I understand I'm missing so much thing in my life. So it's not that only the teacher has to come and feel it every day. You should also feel it every day, because you are coming in the atmosphere every day. But unfortunately, we get used to it and we take it for granted, and we don't value it further after some time. It's like the wife at home, you know. When she comes fresh, we are like worshipping her, almost worshipping her, adoring her. And marriage becomes 1 year old, then adoration comes to worship. Then marriage becomes 2 year old, then worshipping stopped. Only arguments start. And marriage becomes 25 year old, then don't want to be with anybody. Why is that? Because too much closeness becomes, familiarity becomes, contempt comes because of familiarity. Appreciation decreases. Only fault finding is there when you become too close. But spirituality means when you become more and more close, you more and more appreciate the person. More and more appreciate the inner depth of that person. That is spirituality. And the marriage is based on spirituality. Number of years will help you to become more close and more appreciative and be more grateful to each other. And your marriage is not spiritual, the number of years will completely bore you, feel like divorcing and going away. So spirituality is a very important aspect of life. Spirituality can completely turn your experience from bad to excellent. The same situations will prevail, but spirituality will help you to appreciate what's going on around you in the most positive way and make you very happy in life. So please accept spirituality. It's a great wealth of life, great gift of God. And that will make us rich, make us see life in a richer way, and make us appreciate everything around us as the will of God. Hare Krishna. You had to ask something? It's all crap. That's all based on desire to gain something worldly in this world. Why they say, pass on 10 people, otherwise something bad will happen to you. I just ignore it and delete it immediately. Nothing goes wrong in my life. What is miracle? According to their definition, miracle means something very good to my senses. Means money, means some good wife, means some beauty, means some opulence, means some promotion. This is only miracle we are expecting. We don't expect a miracle of meeting the Lord. That's a real miracle. If I meet the Lord, imagine how much happiness will come. That is a miracle I'm looking for. I'm not looking a miracle for going into heavens and flying in the sky and, you know, becoming suddenly 25-year-old from 50-year-old. I'm not looking for that. I know it's not possible. Why should I dream something which is impossible? I want to become 5-year-old again and become like a child and play every day and do nothing, no responsibility, no tension, nothing. We're not looking for that kind of miracles. We know the science of life. So if you have the holy name of the Lord with you, nothing can shake you. No threats, no such messages can threaten you in life. As you have accepted God in your life, in the heart, with love and devotion, then what wrong can go with you? Tell me. God has accepted you in His lap as His own child. great love, and he has given shelter to you, what message can disturb you? What happening can disturb you? What mishap can make you upside down? Nothing. Even the worst calamities, so-called worst disasters, are converted into best things for those who love God. God converts all the disasters in the life of those into best things, those who love God. Then why or what you have to worry? Even the worst calamities He is going to convert for you as best for you. Then what worry you have got? Then why you have to wait for miracles? There's no need of miracles. Everything is a miracle only. In fact, in the life that you have, that you have come across the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself, you have come across, at least in form of knowledge right now, it's a miracle. It's the greatest miracle. This miracle we are looking for. And we are looking for the end of the miracle, that I will actually meet the Lord. That will be a miracle. And that I want to experience. Rather than worrying about, I will not send the message to somebody and then some disaster will come upon. Let all the disaster come upon me. And I don't care for them because I am standing next to Lord. And He will take care of me through all the disasters that He sends to me. That is the faith of a devotee. One should be faithful like that. That let anything happen to me because I am standing next to God. God will take care of all my difficulties. And I will be grateful to Him for everything what He does for me. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So do not make this spirituality a weekly affair. Make it into a dynamic, continuous experience of life. Hare Krishna.